Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah Ta'ala that He's giving us the tawfiq to start on the next surah, Suratul Anbiya. And I make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that in this time of pandemic and the virus is spreading, we thank Allah that He's allowing us to speak about the Qur'an. We ask Allah through this Qur'an to give a shifa, kamila, ajila for everyone and keep us all in afi and safety, inshaAllah Ta'ala. There's barakah in studying the book of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and I can't stress that enough for myself and for everyone who's listening, inshaAllah. So having said that, I'm very excited about this next surah, and I hope we can just keep going. We'll see how far we can go. Eventually, I remember one time in the beginning when I was like, can I just do tafsir programs? Because that was my first intention for the halaqas, only going to do tafsir. They're like, well, now we there are a lot of other things in deen you can talk about. I'm like, sure, let's run with that. So Allah knows best. So inshallah, this is I know I say it about every surah, this is one of the most, it is a very passionate surah for myself. I love it so much. It has a lot of emotion in it, Suratul Anbiya. Okay? The entire surah feels like you're walking through the history of prophets, alayhimus salam. Anbiya is the plural of Nabi, right, which means prophets. So, and it's not just like a general biography like we had of Surah Taha, like which is like parts of Musa alayhisalam's life, etc. It's going to be prophet after prophet after prophet, and the most important moments of their lives is like represented in the surah. So you're going to get glimpses of, for example, Ayyub alayhi salam, Zakariya alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam. It's going to be this various discussion of all these Anbiya alayhi salam. But it's really in the second half. We're only going to get there maybe, maybe 4 or 5 weeks from now when we start talking about Anbiya alayhi salam. Having said that, I'm going to try my best to summarize this next part, which is, and at the end of the surah, after all the prophets get their chance to basically show themselves, Allah demonstrates all of his prophets, then he talks about Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam at the end. And at the end is a dua of the Prophet ﷺ. So it's a very beautiful surah. It just starts to grow like that. Another surah which is similar to this type of structure is Suratul A'raf. They say Suratul A'raf has a history of mankind from beginning all the way to the Day of Judgment. If you read Suratul A'raf from beginning to end, you will find that the entire discussion is all about the Day of Judgment all of human history from beginning to the end, from Adam alayhi salam to the end. Okay? And this surah, so when you're listening to Suratul Anbiya, the first part we're going to be discussing today and for the next couple of weeks is going to talk about what prophets are, what is their job, what are their responsibilities, all these things you'll notice in the surah, and other things that Allah Ta'ala, because it's not a lecture, right? It's not like a dars wa aqidah. Allah is giving a bayan. Allah is giving a khutbah. And when you're speaking in khutbah, it's just point after point, you're getting hit left and right. You don't know where you're going sometimes. That's how powerful the message of the Quran is. So I want everyone, inshallah, and so I'm going to try my best to connect these points together, to try to help you figure out, like, okay, why is this one connected to this one? Try to line them up as much as I can. But I want everyone to understand, when you're in a bayan, sometimes the road disappears, right? You probably experienced it. I've experienced it multiple times, where the khatib will be speaking, and I'll be like, I think he took me to Jannah, then he showed me a glimpse of Jahannam, then he showed me back onto the dunya, then I'm going to the akhirah, I'm going back, and at the end I'm like, wow, that was amazing! And I just don't know where the road went. You don't know where he went from different points to points. That's why in the traditionally, people, I know you might have this experience reading translations, it's like these ayat seem like they're jumping all over the place. And I kid you not, that's probably only because of the English. Okay? In Arabic, it makes total sense. And to the Arab of the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they were completely fine with the khatib jumping from point to point to point. Because they just thought that's the way you give bayan. And that's actually how we also listen to bayan too. If you try to map like Mawlana Sahib's bayan, you're like, where did he go? why is he here and then he goes over there? The Quran speaks in that impactful way. So I'm going to try my best to align them because they are connected, but you don't really need it. Because the Quran, again, is the greatest bayan. And sometimes it's just nice to Allah let the road disappear from underneath you. And you see where Allah will let you fly. Okay? Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So without further ado, let's get started. Surah Taha, it ended with this ayah. قُلْ كُلُّ مُتَرَبِّسٌ فَتَرَبَّسُوا. Say, everyone is waiting. So just wait. So at the end of Surah Taha, everyone is waiting for something. And Surah Al-Anbiya begins with exactly what everyone is waiting for. It just lines up exactly from where the last surah left off. You find the same exact thing with Taha and Maryam. And Maryam and Kaf. Kaf talked about awliya, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The male, those who are male. Surah Maryam talked about the female friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Maryam alayhi salam. And then after Surah Maryam comes Surah Taha, which starts to move into from awliya, from friends of Allah, to anbiya, to prophets. That's why Surah Taha talks about Nabi Musa alayhi salam. And then thereafter, Allah is like, okay, I gave you one sample of one prophet, I'm going to give you all the prophets in Surah Al-Anbiya now. It's very nicely done in the Quran. Okay? So the first ayah is what? اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ. حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون. It has drawn, in the English, I'm breaking it up for a reason, because this is the experience of the Arab listening to the way the Prophet ﷺ is reciting to them. اقترب للناس. It has drawn near to the people. So what is the question that comes in your mind? اقترب للناس. It has come near to the people. What is it? What is it? So they hear اقترب. أتى أمر الله. اقترب للناس. It's come close to the people. اقتراب is not a normal word. When you say something is close, you use قربة. Nice and close, right? قربة من كذا. My house is قريب من المسجد, right? It's close. You don't use اقترب. اقترب, it means like it's so close to your skin. It's like the clothing on your body is اقترب. It's so unbelievably close to you. What is so close to everyone? What is so close? للناس حسابهم. It is their حساب. It is their reckoning. It is their questioning. It is their auditing. It is the calculations that Allah Ta'ala is going to do for every single person. And so why is it so close to us? Why is Allah Ta'ala saying it? For many reasons. One of the reasons is that as soon as you, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that الْجَنَّةُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ مِنْ شِرَاكِ نَعْلِهِ وَالنَّارُ كَذَلِكَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. The Prophet ﷺ said, Jannah is closer to one of you than the shoe strap that you have, or the sandal strap that you have. That's how close it is. In other words, the Prophet ﷺ was explaining that you can just take one more step and you could die. And then the next moment is what? You're in the grave. And right after that is Jannah, Jahannam. That's all that's going to happen. Or the Prophet ﷺ said, and the fire is like that too. In other words, we don't know which is the last breath. We're breathing in and out. We're taking steps every day. We're moving every day. But one day it's just going to stop. That's how close it is to us. And once you die, that's all it is. It's going to be the Day of Judgment. Allah says it's so unbelievably close to us. اقتراب, اقتراب, so unbelievably close. But the second reason the ulama mentioned is because, is there any other ummah after us? We are literally the last people in this world for this exam. This entire dunya is the exam. Don't forget that. Never forget that. We're only here for a test. And in this moment of testing, we are the last people to enter. When you have, for example, an SAT exam, they're going to schedule kids from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., from 2 p.m. to whatever time. They schedule kids. You and I are literally at the last moment of time. There's no one else after us. Allah says it's so unbelievably close to you. O Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is greater than any other exam. On the Day of Judgment, you will be so terrified. You know, at least before your exams, you say, Mom and Dad, make dua for me. You know, in this world, you say for your MCAT, for whatever exam you have, Mom and Dad, make dua for me. Greater than any exam is the Day of Judgment's exam. Because even on that day, you're not going to ask your mother and father for anything. Forget about a dua. You'll be going to them and say, can I get your good deeds? يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. Everyone you're going to run away from. There's literally no one else. يَوْمَ لَا يَجْزِنْ وَالِدٌ عَنْ وَلَدِهِ وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ هُوَ جَازٍ عَنْ وَالِدِهِ شَيْئًا. No father will take any reward from his son. No son will take any reward from his father. No one's asking anyone for anything on that day. Greater than any other exam. Greater than any other audit. People get parashan. They get so worried about tax returns. At the time of tax season, they're checking everything, making sure they're doing everything right. When you're applying for something, you make sure that your name is right, your social is right, your accounts are right. Everything has to be exactly the way it's supposed to be. Because you're so worried. Imagine people applying for a green card, or for the passport, or for a birth certificate. We're just so careful about everything. Greater than that is the Day of Judgment, where every single number will be calculated. لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, it doesn't miss a single small thing or a single big thing, except it's all mentioned in this book. Every single fajr you and I prayed, every single fajr you and I did not pray, every single dhikr you and I did, every single tasbih we did, every single time we spoke, every single letter, every single utterance from our mouths, everywhere we walked, everywhere we looked, everything, every facial expression is in the book that Allah has written there. This is greater than any other audit. Okay, amazing. And then the third thing is what? It's greater than any other questioning. You and I can imagine on the day of that in any appointment, if you're applying for a really important job, you haven't had a job for such a long time, and finally someone's giving you an opportunity, you go in there for the interview, how nervous are you? You're reading so many zikrs, so many tasbihs, trying to get ready for it, you know, as much as you can. You sit in there, the heart is beating like this. You're so worried about what the person's going to ask. For the person coming to America, the interview, what am I going to say? What's going to happen? All these worries. And I'm letting you know on the Day of Judgment, completely naked you'll be.
Completely naked you'll be. The most embarrassing state you can ever be as a human being. Your sweat is literally telling everyone on the Day of Judgment how many sins you made. This is how embarrassing it is. And before everyone, if you were not a good person, Allah will protect us. But if we were not a good person, Allah will expose our deeds to every single person on the Day of Judgment. To our mothers, our fathers, to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Imam, the Mawlana, everyone in the community, we all see how embarrassing our lives were. This is how embarrassing this type of questioning is. Such an important audit, such an important questioning, such an important reckoning. All these things will happen, but Allah Ta'ala says, وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. Do you feel that now? They are all in negligence, turning away as if it never existed. Such an important exam they have waiting. This is the what I talked about was not something that's mad, a fairy tale or something made up. What's going to happen to all of us is we're going to stand in front of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says, this is such an important test and reckoning. They're all turning away from it. They're all pretending like it's not there. They're all checking their Facebook, their WhatsApp, their Twitter, seeing what's happening on Capitol Hill like it's so important. Like it's like Isa alayhi salam returning or something. It's so important to us, like we're so engrossed in the dunya. Allah says, you have such an important exam, how are you even sleeping? How are you taking rest? How are you just pretending like nothing is happening? Allah, this is like, you know, this ayah has a lot of frustration in it. That how can human beings even think about anything else? Everyone is completely oblivious. When Amir ibn Rabi'ah, radiallahu anhu, when a man came to him, and he said, he was a man who accepted Islam, and he really respected Amir. So when this man accepted Islam, he talked to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I wrote in Arabic here. فَجَاءَهُ الرَّجُلُ فَقَالَ إِنِّي اسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَاثِيًا فِي الْعَرَبِ وَقَدْ أَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَقْطَعَ لَكَ مِنْهُ قِطْعَةً تَكُونُ لَكَ وَلِعَقِبِكَ وَمِنْ بَعْدِكَ. And he goes and says that I love the Prophet so much that I found a valley and I gave it all to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This man was saying, I love him so much sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I gave him a valley, and I want to also. He says to Amir, I want to give you a valley too. Because I love you so much. So Amir responds in such a beautiful way. He says, قَالَ لَا حَاجَتَ لِي فِي قَطِيعَتِكَ. He says, I don't have any need of your valley or your piece of land. إِن نَزَلَتِ الْيَوْمَ سُورَةٌ أَذْهَلَتْنَا عَنِ الدُّنْيَا. He said, a surah has been revealed today that has made us completely forget about the dunya. He said, what is the surah? اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. You know, this is what everyone is preparing for. Time is ticking away. If Allah Ta'ala has written our date of death on us, it's written on us. There's a certain amount of time that's about to expire. You know, this clock is counting up, right? But everyone's clock is counting down. We're just moments and moments and moments, and eventually the clock is going to go away. This one ayah is telling us to wake up. Don't waste your time. Don't use anything else, any of your efforts. Don't utilize anything that you have in this world except for the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala is not telling us this to scare us, right? He's telling us because He wants us to prepare for it. It's like that parent who's like, Bichara, you're 30 years old, your face is looking disgusting, and you're still playing Call of Duty 7000 like it's so important. You know, and he's like, can you get a job? Can you get up? Can you do something? Allah SWT is talking to all of mankind. What's wrong with you, mankind? I didn't create you for staying in the dunya. I created you, come back to me. Okay? And I'm not saying this to make people like, oh my God, he's going to tell us to become like super awliya of Allah. I got to sit down and do dhikr all day like this. Allah, Allah, Allah. That's not the thing here. Okay, there are moments in life where you can be happy and enjoy. That's what Allah, He loves you. You thank Allah when you're happy, right? Alhamdulillah. People love it, mashallah. I like to have a good life. I'm not saying not to have a good life. I'm not saying to not have money. Go ahead, make millions of dollars, mashallah. Be as good as this Jeff Bezos and, you know, Elon Musk, whatever. Become as rich as them. Go ahead, be happy. But make sure you remember, where is it going? Okay? And so there will be certain nights where you'll be happy and excited. And certain nights in life where you'll be a little bit sad and you want to cry. That's what we're asking for. That's what the alim, the Mawlana, the imam, that's what the Nabi ﷺ wanted from everyone. That people will have the happy moments and moments where they cry and raise their hands and say, Allah, please protect me on the Day of Judgment. People are asking for protection from every single thing in the world. But no one's saying, Ya Allah, protect us from the torment of the Day of Judgment. Maybe we should raise our hands. Ask Allah, Ya Allah, I'm going to go into the qabr one day. This thing is going to squeeze me like this. And I'm not even worried about it. You know, everyone thinks they're a jannati. Everyone says, I'm a jannati. Who can you show me the certificate? And can I get the certificate too? Because if I could have that, my life would be so much more, just more calm. But because I don't have it, now I'm careful with my words. I make sure I'm careful when I speak to people. When I talk to my wife, I don't want to yell at her too much because perhaps Allah will grab me on the Day of Judgment. When I talk to brothers, I'm so nice to them. Because why? Because I don't want to offend their hearts. When I'm outside, I want to be this nice, most respectful person. Because on the Day of Judgment, Allah Ta'ala might take me for it. When I entered the store, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. The dua of the Prophet ﷺ said, when you read this, when you enter the store, the dhikr that I just read, you get the reward of a million rewards, a million good deeds written for you, a million bad deeds removed from you, and a million statuses in Jannah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. There's so many things you remember, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha, because your life is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not about the emotions. Don't chase your emotions, brothers and sisters in Islam. Because your emotions will go up and down all the time. If you're looking for that iman high, you know, you'll get that buzz here and there. But life is about Allah. It's not about anything else. Life is about how Allah ta'ala, He's created the world, how the world worships Him, and how you and I need to worship Him too. Don't get stuck with, life has to make me happy. Because there's a man on TV who's always trying to make life happy for himself. And trying to make sure that even the point that he's lost the entire election, he's still like, I didn't lose. Because why? Because it's so important to be happy. It's so important to be about me. You know, power is such a drug. It's such a disgusting drug. That I just want to be recognized. I just want to be noticed. I just want to be remembered, you know? This man is dying in it. You and I are seeing it before our eyes. People who chase themselves. There's no happiness in it. There's only shame and regret and embarrassment at the end. We ask Allah for protection from that. So we are, remember this. That in anything you get in life, it is a test. Okay? This is the exam hall. There's no such thing as success here. Money is not success. It is a vehicle that you can attain success. I'm not impressed that Elon Musk has this much money. I'm not impressed Jeff Bezos, whatever. You know, I'm not impressed he has a lot of money. I don't care who the heck is the richest man in the world. Because at the end of the day, the same ground that's going to eat my body is the same ground that's going to eat his body. And I worry about if they don't accept Islam, what kind of hisab Allah will give them. Because that's what I'm scared about. Don't get worried about, okay, this person has this much money, this person doesn't. It doesn't matter. That's not success. If you have money, you spend it in the way of Allah Ta'ala, you'll get success. If you have health, that's not success. The way you spend your health is how you're going to get success. You have legs, you have eyes, you have ears, you have a heart. You can remember Allah, use those things in the right way. That's success. And now you'll see on the Day of Judgment what Allah Ta'ala will give you. That's why it's iqtaraba linnas, not aninnas. It's getting closer for the benefit of you. Allah Ta'ala wants to reward you, O believer, for everything you're doing in life. Allah Ta'ala wants to give you things. But we're just so negligent from it. So this is what makes you Muslim. That if you want to know who's the most intelligent person, is that person who is preparing for the Day of Judgment. When there's no one else to help you, no more money to spend, no more house to live in, but you're all worried about, what am I going to do about that day? That is the most smart. That is the smartest person. And if you're wondering, what this, Maulana Sahib, you told us in the beginning, this was about prophets. I didn't want a reality check. I didn't want to become woke. What are you doing here? This is what prophets have been telling you. This is the entire message of prophets. Why? If you need to ask what the prophets have been telling everyone, what have prophets been telling everyone? Worry about the Day of Judgment. Get ready for the Day of Judgment. You're going to stand in front of Allah. That's the message of prophets. Who are the smartest people in the world? People sometimes listen to these finance gurus and stuff like that. They watch all these Mad Max, whatever. I don't know any of these guys. I just have my brother who I talk to. I say, I make mashwara. Should I buy this? Should I buy that? Alhamdulillah. You know, there's barakah and mashwara. And mashallah, you know, alhamdulillah. Allahumma zid fazid. And I ask for all you guys to increase in wealth. I really do. I think Muslims having wealth is a great thing. As long as they're using it the right way. I really make all dua for a lot of your wealth. But people, they love these opinions so much. They listen to these people so well. If someone says something, the stocks go up. If someone says something, the stocks go down. They're watching this person so intently, you know? This is the Prophet of Allah. He's telling you the most important information of your life. Just get ready for the Day of Judgment. Prepare yourself. Never miss a Fajr again, inshallah. Never miss a Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha again. Never again, inshallah. We make intention from today. I won't miss anything that Allah tells me to do, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah give us all tawfiq. مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ مُحْدَثٍ إِلَّا اسْتَمَعُهُ وَمْ يَلَعْبُونَ. Okay? No mention from their Lord. No new message of advice comes to them from their Lord. But they listen to it as if they were playing. So that the message, then the first ayah was to all of mankind. Then Allah just zooms into the Quraysh. He's like, you guys have something special that no one else has. What is the special thing that Quraysh has that no one else has? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you're talking about a reminder, about a dhikr, about a bayan, about a dars, who can give better than the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No one in all of creation can. Quraysh have this man in front of them. And what is happening? People are like, oh man, this bayan is the same old stuff, every single time. You know, the Quran is the same old Quran. You know, people say things like that. Allah forgive us. We're not spiritually in tune with the Quran, that's why we think it's the same old, or else it's never the same. I feel like every single time I open the Quran, I feel like it's telling me something new. Because the Quran is like that, it's a divine book. It's always speaking to you. There's no such thing as time with this book. This book is eternal, right? It's a timeless kitab. Having said that, imagine in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, no ayats are being revealed, right? And now the Prophet is coming with new ayats. How exciting is it? You're like, wow, there's more Quran now? You're like, oh, there's even more? And I'm not saying to become like Shia, they're waiting for 10 juz, okay? I'm just saying that the idea that like, wow, in their time, you know, you can get more Quran, more Quran, more Quran. So now Allah is saying, I'm giving them more messages from me. Except they listen to it and pretend. إِلَّاسْتَمَعُوهُ وَمْ يَلْعَبُونَ They're like, aha, Muhammad, you really? Really you're gonna die? Really you're gonna come dirt? They're mocking him. They're playing with him. They're making a joke about him. And so this Quran is amazing. Inshallah, we'll get there in a second. لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ Their hearts are completely paying no attention, no heed. Okay? وَأَسَرُوا النَّجْوَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ So their hearts are completely lahiya. They're in lahu. I'll explain the word lahu in a second. But they're wasting their time. And so what happens is, the Quraysh are wasting their time. Instead of listening to the message of Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they're talking to each other and creating these secret plans. They're talking to each other in secret. And they're all saying to each other about how they can sabotage the message of Islam. So they're all wasting their time having these secret meetings. Okay? They're all wasting their time having these secret meetings and pretending like it's not really a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? And this is where we come up to the topic of Muslim Twitter. Before I'm going to come up to it a bit more in detail later on. But this is lahiyatan qulubuhum, the word lahu. Lahu means when you're wasting time in something that does not benefit you neither in dunya nor in deen. Lahu is when you don't benefit in deen nor in dunya. There are certain things in life that we do that it has no benefit whatsoever. Okay? Now, this is the thing. People always have recreational time. And I'm never against kids if they want to play a little bit of video games. I just tell you, never ask the Mawlana about what is the fatwa on video games. Because there are two asman zameen farq, you know. If you were to ask the Mawlana what is the hukum on it, he probably wouldn't give you the nicest things. I remember I told someone that in a group, you know, one of those WhatsApp groups. I have a couple of them. They're called like Rabbi Zinir Ilma, Allah increases in knowledge groups. So one of the kids asked, he's like, what is the fatwa on Fortnite? I'm like, you don't want to ask me. I told him, you don't want to ask me. You know? And then he's like, Jazakallah, and he left the group. I'm like, can someone tell him? I wasn't trying to be mean to him. I was just trying to be real honest. If you have your recreational time, just make istighfar and tawbah afterwards. You wasted time. It wasn't something beneficial. Don't lie to yourself. Oh, hand dexterity. Okay? You can get more by throwing a baseball. Okay? There are more things in life that can teach you hand-eye coordination, whatever dexterity you want. Okay? There are beneficial things. Make tawbah and istighfar. If you played it, make istighfar. Okay, I wasted my time. Allah forgive me. You know? Okay, I you know, Allah forgive me for whatever. Just make tawbah. It's better. It's better. It's safer, right? Can we all agree it's safer? You know, Mufti Sahib is right or wrong, it's safer. On the Day of Judgment, you at least make tawbah, right? So, but the thing is that when people are engrossed in it, their entire life is like that. When you ask someone, what do they do in the whole day? I wake up at 12 p.m. and I play video games till 12 a.m. Right? That's what some people's lives are like. That they literally just, the entire life is engrossed in wasting time. That's when they check Twitter. The entire life is just checking Twitter, checking WhatsApp, checking Facebook, just checking this and checking this. Literally, we're all wasting time. Now look, if you are wasting a little bit of time making tawbah afterwards, you might become a wali of Allah because you at least made tawbah. If you are just wasting time completely and the waste and the filth is allowed to be on top of the heart, what's going to happen is the message of Quran won't get in your ears anymore. This is the danger of it. We ask Allah for protection. That if you are wasting time completely, because even a believer on their worst day, I mean it, even a Muslim on his worst day, if you listen to the Quran, sometimes a tear will come out because of how miserable you feel. So you're just like, ya Allah, please forgive me. Even on a bad day, you're feeling so depressed. You committed a bad guna. And then you go into the masjid, he talks about tawbah and you start crying like, Allah, forgive me. I'll turn back right now. You know, even on a bad day, some guy came in earlier today. He was so angry. And he's, you know, and I told him, for the sake of Allah, just forgive your wife. For the sake of Allah, just forgive your wife. And alhamdulillah, he's like, alright, for Allah Ta'ala's sake, I'll do it. You know, believers are amazing people. That their hearts are so pure. A little bit of Quran just hits them so hard. A little bit. But when your heart is engrossed in Fortnite and PUBG and all these different like A'udhu Billah type things that I don't even know all these different names for, you know, all these anime and all these things, like they're surrounding the heart. So what happens is what? Now the bayan comes in, it's like same old, same old. Same old, same old. Why is Quraysh saying same old, same old? Because their hearts are wasting time. When we waste time like the Quraysh, same exact thing, our hearts won't accept the message anymore. We need to make a conscious effort. That if you are stuck in these things, make sure you change it. Okay? They crave, لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ, they crave wasting time. So I ask everyone, that some people have an addiction to check news. Now, I know someone, one great person that I really regard, but his addiction is just checking news all the time. If you're like that, just tone it down. You know, a lot of times the wife will love you so much, if you could just turn off the second wife. When you get home, just turn off the WhatsApp. Just leave the phone on the side. You know, alhamdulillah, I used to have notifications all the time for WhatsApp. And my life used to be miserable. I'm still miserable. I'm not lying about that. But like, I was more miserable because I could see every single notification every single time. And you can imagine how crazy a person will become if you're checking every single minute. And now, alhamdulillah, I'm coping with my addiction. So I turned off the notifications and I feel like life has become clear again. I read Quran, I feel it again. You know, I just, Allah, sadaqallah, you know, it's not me. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that look, if you're wasting time, the Quran is not going to get through. Okay? So what happens is the Quraysh go and say, they waste their time, number one, and number two is that they waste their time in these secret gatherings trying to sabotage Islam. هَلْ هَذَا إِلَّا بَشْرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. This is nothing but a human like you. أَفَتَأْتُونَ السِّحْرَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبَصِرُونَ. Will you all then go along with the magic while you all are seeing it? They're all talking to each other in secret. And they're all telling each other that how can you ever believe this Muhammad? He's coming with magic. He's coming with magic. I need to ask everyone, is magic something you hear? When you go to a magic show, do you want him to put on like a good noise or a song or something? When you go to a magic show, you're expecting something to bewilder or, you know, do some magic on the eyes. Right? Something you see. The Quraysh are so affected by the Quran. They are so affected by the Quran that when they are hearing the Prophet ﷺ saying the Quran from his mouth, they're hearing it. They're thinking like magic just happened before their eyes. This is how amazing it is to them. They're like, how could someone just do that? So every single ayah comes down from the Quran, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. The Quraysh are like, whoa, as if they got hit with a magic trick. It's just an amazing feeling for them. So they start telling each other, are you getting seduced by this magic? Okay? Now the Quraysh are hearing this ayah come down in Suratul Anbiya that the Prophet is saying in their secret gatherings are talking about this. And now the question coming in their mind is what? How did he know? We were in the secret of secret gatherings. We're in the darkest nights. We're in the places where no one is there. And he's telling, how does he know we're talking about this? قَالَ رَبِّي يَعْلَمُ الْقَوْلَ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. The Prophet ﷺ says, my Lord knows that which is spoken in the heavens and in the earth. And he's all hearing and all seeing. The Prophet ﷺ responds to them and says, I know you're going to ask this question. So, قَالَ رَبِّي يَعْلَمُ الْقَوْلَ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. My Lord knows. That's how I know. So the thing that Allah is telling them in this ayah is, Allah knows what you're saying in secret. And you better watch out because you're only adding to the problems on the Day of Judgment. If we think in secret places we're going to get away with things, there's no getting away with anything. Allah sees everything and hears everything. We're adding to the problems on the Day of Judgment. And so you think, you and I would think aqlan, like rationally speaking, if the Prophet comes and tells them that Allah heard what you all said, and I just quoted you exactly what you all said, what do you think they would do? Probably stop. Let's just not try anymore. You think they'll stop what they were saying? بَلْ قَالُوا أَدْغَاثُ أَحْلَامُ بَلْ إِفْتَرَى بَلْ هُوَ شَاعِرُ. They say, no, rather, they're like, no, it's a jumble of fake dreams. No, he has fabricated it. No, he's a poet. You know what? Let him bring a sign from the earlier people were sent with. We don't want this Quran. Give us like a camel. I want a camel from the mountain. Like the people of Thamud. You know, no, I don't want this. I want like, you know, the staff of Musa alayhi salam. Can you revive the dead, Muhammad? Can you do some cool stuff? We don't want this thing, you know? So they start, instead of stopping, they start saying all these things. Now, can it be, the first thing they said was, it's a jumble of fake dreams. The second thing they said was, he fabricated it, he made it up. The third thing they said was, he's a poet. Can all these three things be correct at the same time? Can it be dreams, fabrication, and a poetry? No, it can only be one. In other words, the Quraysh are so stuck, they have no idea what the heck to say anymore. They're like, what do we say? So they start saying anything. It's magic. It's poetry. He made it up. It's a dream. All this stuff. But here's the facts. You know, fake news, right? This is fake news, right? This is not fake news here. What's the real news? The fact that people, if someone came to you and said, I had my dream. My dream was that I was swinging around like Spider-Man, going from all the places. Then I jumped into a chocolate river, and the river went down, and I found myself in the waterfall of Jannatul Firdaus. You know, that's a fake dream, right? People are like, you think if I was sitting here in Bayan giving you all my fake dreams, would people be listening to me? You might, because it sounds enjoyable. But like, it's not. Generally speaking, people will be like, Mawlana, we don't want to hear your dreams. That's fine. The fact that people are listening to beautiful speech from the Nabi Muhammad's mouth, it's proof that it's not a fake dream. Right? Because it's beautiful words, people are sitting and listening. It's dalil, it's a proof that it's not a fake dream. The fact that if he's a human, and they're saying he made it up, then you and I as humans, we can also make it up. I can make it too. If it's Shakespeare, I can write like Shakespeare. People have copied Shakespeare. People have imitated Shakespeare. People have emulated Shakespeare. People have emulated every single writer. Iqbal is such a great writer, you know, such a great poet, and people have copied his style. There's so many people in all of history that you can copy the way they wrote, that you can copy anything they've done. But the thing is that they can't copy the Quran. So the fact that they can't copy it, even though they're saying that, is showing that it's not made up. The third thing is what? The Arabs are the Quraysh are the best poets. They are the best poets. And they're saying the Prophet is making a poem. It's just a poem. First of all, the Prophet ﷺ was, well, he wasn't good at poetry. He was never good at poetry. This is the one thing you can say the Prophet ﷺ did not know of, because the Quran says, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ. We didn't teach him how to do poetry. One time the Prophet ﷺ was quoting a poem, and he flipped around the words. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, the words you said, they're inverted. They're flipped. And the Prophet's like, what's the difference? He doesn't have the sense for it. Because it's not for a Prophet to do poetry. So now here's the question for Quraysh. Quraysh, you guys are the best poets. You should be able to copy it then. So the fact that they are the best poets and still can't bring anything else like the Quran is a sign it's not poetry. So it's not dreams, it's not made up, and it's not poetry. And the worst part is what? The fact that he can't... And so when they ask him, can you bring a sign? Now if he's a magician, can a magician do a trick? At any time you ask him, he can do the sleight of hand. He can make it happen. But why can't the Prophet bring down a miracle? Is that under his control? That's not his choice. The fact that he can't bring a miracle is a sign he's not a magician. Because if he was a magician, if you ask me to produce a camel from the mountain, from my tricks, I'll make it come out. But the Prophet ﷺ cannot make miracles when he wants. Because that's not his decision. That's the proof that he's not a magician either. So now everything they're saying has been completely refuted. What else do you have? What else do you have? Okay? And this is the last couple of points I'll mention, inshallah. We only have a little bit of time left. What else do you have? People, you know, this is all the arguments. When you ask about how do you prove the Prophet is a true Prophet, I'll ask you that the Quraysh were the best poets. The Quraysh were the best of their time. If he was a human, there should have been more humans that could have made the Quran. I am asking everyone that any non-Muslim, ask them this deep question. Why is it that the people of his time could not produce the Quran? Why is it that they had to go to violence to stop him? Why is it that they had to go resort to try to kill him? You know, couldn't they just produce the same thing? If it's not a miracle, I don't know what else to say it is. What else do you have? Some people will say, oh no, he forged the Quran because he wanted dunya. Because he wanted the world. You know, sometimes people will become fake prophets. Like certain people in India that became fake prophets. Because why? Because it will get you a very nice status. A very nice position. Lots of money. Lots of women. Lots of fame, right? If you're just a fake prophet, there's a lot of money involved. You know, in America, you can make your own church. I was thinking about it for quite some time because there's a lot of money in that. You know, the 501c3, you know, it's there. Having said that, there's a lot of money in it. There's a lot. But did the Prophet ﷺ want dunya? What do you and I know about the Prophet ﷺ? He didn't want any of it. There are two famous stories that we'll finish on. The one is Utbah ibn Radi'ah. Utbah ibn Radi'ah was one of the famous spokespersons of Quraysh. Quraysh said to Utbah, you are our man. You are the prime time guy. You need to go to the Prophet. You need to go to Muhammad ﷺ and tell him that stop talking about Islam. And so Utbah goes to the Prophet ﷺ and says to him, O Muhammad, O nephew, you have come and you've caused divisions amongst the Arabs. The Quraysh are so bewildered, they're so astounded. You've cursed our idols, you've done this and this. And then he goes and says, O nephew, I'll give you a proposition here. If you want money, we'll give you so much money, you'll become the wealthiest person amongst the Arabs. You want wealth, we'll give it to you. You want to marry women, we'll give you 10 of the best women of all of the different tribes. Pick whichever beautiful woman you want. If you want to become the leader of the Arabs, wallahi will make you the leader of the Arabs. You can become the leader too. Go ahead, take all the dunya. Just stop preaching this kalima la ilaha illallah. The Prophet ﷺ listens to Utbah. He's saying this and this and this and this. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, Utbah, are you done? He says, I'm done. Then the Prophet ﷺ starts, Hameem, Tanzeelum min ar-Rahman ir-Rahim, kitabun fussilat ayatuhu. Starts Surah Fussilat. Reads it all the way, some scholars, some narrations say, he read to the sajda. And the Prophet ﷺ made sajda. Or he read to the part where it says, that if you are, If you are worried, and then فَأَنْذَرْتُكُمْ صَعِقَةَ مِثْلِ صَعِقَةِ عَادٍ وَثَمُودٍ. When the Prophet says, I warn you about the punishment of Ad and Thamud. At that moment, Utfa put his hand on the mouth of the Prophet. He said, enough, enough, Muhammad, don't say anymore. Utfa says later that I thought that because the Prophet was reading these ayat, I thought the punishment was going to come down right now. I was so scared. So he went back to Abu Jahl and everyone else. They're literally sitting in the area of the Kaaba. Right? So the Prophet is on one side and Abu Jahl on the other side. And they're like, our man Utba, he did it. He's coming back to us. And so Utba goes and speaks to him and says, oh Abu Jahl. He says, by Allah, the words which he spoke are like of which I've never heard before. By Allah, it's neither poetry, nor magic, nor soothsaying. O men of Quraysh, obey me. Leave this man alone with what he has. Just be considerate towards him and don't interfere. And then Abu Jahl and them say, man, you've been possessed. You've been seduced. You turn into, you become a worshiper of Muhammad too. You know, like, they're like, you become entranced by his magic. That's story number one. What's story number two? Abu Talib. Abu Talib, the beloved uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. Quraysh was so fed up with the Prophet ﷺ's message. They said, oh Abu Talib, tell your nephew to stop this. It's enough is enough. Our entire nation has been overturned by this one man. You need to go and tell him to stop. Abu Talib was so influenced and so pressured. He goes to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and says, oh nephew, please, for this, you know, he says, please, for my sake and for the sake of our community, stop preaching this message. It's destroying our nation. It's destroying everything about us. Please stop saying this kalima. And then the Prophet ﷺ says to Abu Talib, he says, ya Abu Talib, he says, if you were to place the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left, it's either that Allah will make this deen victorious or I die in the process. But I'll never stop preaching this deen. And then the Prophet starts to cry. And at that moment, Abu Talib says, oh nephew, please don't cry. Leave it alone. Do what you want to do. I will defend you until the day I die. Right? This is the times when the Prophet was invited with dunya. Tell me about this man who slept on a straw mat. That the mat would leave marks on his body. Tell me about this man who didn't have any food to eat. No dates, nothing to eat. This man, who you're telling me he wanted dunya. The only thing he wanted was that people get successful on the Day of Judgment. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. This is our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what Allah Ta'ala tells us about him. That this is why we believe to him to be the true Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. Okay? We ask Allah Ta'ala, so what else can they say? And they go and say we want a different sign. We'll leave it here inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Allow us inshallah ta'ala that when we hear the stories of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it inspires us to change our lives and become better people. That when we hear the things of the Day of Judgment, we take a reminder that we become a little bit more soft-hearted and a little more tender-hearted, that we try our best to prepare for it. And Allah give us tawfiq that we get success in this life and the hereafter. And we ask Allah through the barakah of this type of majlis and tafsir discussions that we're thinking about the big day of the Day of Judgment, so He makes all the days of this world easy, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah for so much tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala sayyid Muhammad wa ala alihi sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khaira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.